Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, I'm joined with Brian Marquardt. He is my friend and my astrologist, and I ask him all the crazy questions about what's going on in the world, especially with this eclipse going on. And guys, you get to hear this episode on the morning of the eclipse. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
I think you're so fun, and I love your podcast. Tell everybody what the name of your podcast is.
Oh, thank you. It's called Clairannoyance.
Yes.
So we just make fun of spirituality, basically. It's right. Funny because we're spiritual people, but there's a lot of bullshit in this community. Right. Oh, I'm sorry. I probably toned it down, Ryan. There's a lot of stuff going on in this community that's just, you know, misinformation.
Well, I should say. It's funny you say that, Ryan, because that was one of the things I was going to talk about with this eclipse, because people are going crazy. They're like, stock up for 2 weeks and oh my God, we're going to die. And I'm like, seriously, people, we're not going to have the sun is going to be shadowed by the moon for what? In some places a minute and some places 4 minutes and 23 seconds. It's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, and where I am, I'm close to the DFW area. Now I'm not as close. I'm about an hour and a half from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but in Ennis, Texas, where it's total, complete totality of the eclipse. It's about 70 miles wide as far as the line of the totality. And I tell you what, there are flocks of people. They have declared an emergency, no, or disaster. Maybe that's what it is. I'm like, are you serious? What do you think about all this?
It's really funny because there is a lot of, you know, crazy talk going on right now about it. And people are like, I've never seen this before during an eclipse. Like, why are they telling us to fill up on gas and get our groceries and all that, you know? And I understand why people would feel this way. But at the same time, you've got to put it all into context. Like, it's a total solar eclipse. And there's a lot that plays into it. We'll get into the astrology in a bit, but be prepared for like electric grid breakdowns because people are flooding into your city.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be congested. That's why. And it just so happens that the eclipse this year, the April 8th eclipse, falls on what has historically been the busiest travel week in spring. So it's just already, without the eclipses, airports right. and roadways are congested. So it's just people being safe. They're trying to tell locals, you know, get your groceries so tourists don't flood in and take everything from you.
Yeah, because that's true. It's in the area of impact, guys. It's not like all of the United States, you know, the world is ending. No. You know, it's not like lockdown was, you know. And it's funny how...
No.
It's just so funny how they just go crazy. And so there's one verification. I just want to calm everyone down because, you know, even if you don't see a total eclipse, you're going to see something amazing, something you won't see for another, I think, 200 or 300 years. Is that right?
Well, we'll see another one in 20 years. It's so different. Like, this is a really big one. It's crossing over like 14 states. The one in 20 years is only going to touch 3 states, you know?
Oh, so right.
Huge one.
I think they meant the next big one like this will be in, I think, I don't know how many years. They said a lot of years. So maybe I'm wrong. But yeah. So tell me what this means planet wise. When an astrologist looks at it through your lens, what does it tell you?
Eclipses are really cool because they are one of the oldest things that we have documented astrologically. Like ancient people would see an eclipse in the sky, which looks so crazy because, you know, you're used to seeing the sun and the moon. But then all of a sudden this thing happens. You're like, what is going on? And it often correlated with the downfall of luminaries. So like an eclipse would happen and a king would die. And you think of it like, you know, in this type of eclipse in particular, where the moon is blocking the sun out.
Yeah.
The sun it's a solar body, right? And so it provides visibility, light to things. So people in high visible states are the ones that get eclipsed out historically. So eclipses often correlate to, you know, a king dying in ancient times. But now in modern times, it's like crazy things happening with celebrities. Like it's often, you know, considered to be a time where the soul chooses to exit its body. It's like people die at eclipses, like that we don't expect, really big celebrities, but also people are born. It's very common in right. a normal family that, you know, a grandma might pass, but then your sibling says, hey, we're having a baby, and you're now going to be an aunt or an uncle, you know?
Right.
So life comes in and goes out during eclipses, a big fated turning point event.
And Ryan, why do you think that is? Is it because it's an energy exchange? Why do you think it's specifically eclipses that kind of enhance this?
You know, the sun and the moon are so visceral for us to experience. And without getting too technical, when an eclipse happens, the sun and the moon are not acting right. they're kind of off their normal paths.
Oh,
and
okay.
So it kind of in like symbolically is just like, oh, something's going on, you know, like there's just a shift. There's like a quote unquote portal opening. Right. And so it just becomes this time where, I mean, when there's such an alignment between the earth, the moon, the sun like this, like it really things have to line up so exactly. Right. It just feels symbolically big. Like, oh, okay. There's this now like line of planets, which you kind of call a syzygy really. And it just feels like, okay, so now there's this alignment, I guess there's an easier flow of energy or a more pronounced kind of burst of energy that just seems to happen in the cosmos.
And it's kind of like, is it like full moon energy too, or is it different than that?
Eclipses always occur on full moons or new moons. So we had an eclipse on March 25th that was a full moon eclipse. That's when the sun and the moon are opposing each other and the earth is in between them. So the earth casts a shadow on the moon and the moon looks funny, the full moon. And now this one is a new moon eclipse. So the moon is in between the earth and the sun.
Right.
And
was that last eclipse, was that, you know, the one that you said was in March, was that the crescent moon look, the weird moon that it looked like that?
It was a full moon technically, but it looks weird. Yeah. Like the light on the moon looks funny. So you probably saw like an odd full moon lighting.
Okay. And then people think that's the end of the world too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Because the moon looks kind of like reddish, you know, like the, the earth's shadow on the moon
that like makes
it, it doesn't look like dark, you know?
Right. Okay. So because we're having this big eclipse and because we're getting to hear this the morning of, what signs, astrological signs, do you think will be affected most by this particular eclipse?
The four cardinal signs. Mm. So the four signs that start a season. So it's happening in Aries. So Aries will get a very pronounced feeling here, but then Libra will also feel it incredibly because they also had the previous eclipse in March and Libra opposes Aries. But then the other two signs that are perpendicular to them are Cancer and Capricorn. So Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn.
Okay, gotcha. And why is that? Just because of this placement, or what is that due to?
Yeah, whenever something big like this is happening, it's always going to matter for that sign. But then the sign that directly opposes it, it's like that sign's looking at it dead on. But then the two signs that kind of T-bone that or are at a 90 degree angle, which is called a square. You can kind of imagine it in the sky, like a boxing ring. It's sort of like all four signs are in all four corners. And, you know, you're like on the lookout, like somebody going to throw a punch at me. Like, what's going on here? So they're just like right in the path, you know, of impact.
Right. Now, I don't know. I don't think I've ever asked you this. Do you have abilities at all, Ryan? Can you predict with astrology and or predict just anyway? Or is it just strictly, I'm an astrologist, I read the planets, and that's all I do?
No, I do predictive work with astrology for sure.
Okay. So what are your predictions after this happens? Because people are like, you know, this might be the start of something completely. And then they're talking about CERN. I mean, what do you think about all that?
CERN is kind of a funny thing. I don't think that it's going to impact CERN.
Okay.
That's, you know, a particle accelerator physics. I leave the scientists to do what they want to do. you know, whatever. That has no impact on me.
Yeah.
But this is a really significant moment. Like, April in general is the biggest month astrologically of the entire year.
Oh, wow.
This eclipse on April 8th is one of the biggest transits of the entire year as well. And then there's just more happening in April. But this is like a month where we're going to see a serious tide shift. Like from the past few years of energy, this is where it changes into the next couple of years.
Wow.
So yeah, people are going to be definitely experiencing some huge, huge stuff. You know, I mean, without giving too much away here, you're getting a little bit of an exclusive, I guess. But like I was predicting for myself, just seeing like what was happening in April last year when I was doing like year ahead forecasts, I was predicting like I'm gonna have some sort of crazy home life change. Like I don't really know what's gonna go on, but April's like really shaking up my home life, and go freaking figure, I am now planning my move. Like
I'm
this
so
just
glad
happened.
You talked I'm, about that. Yes.
Yeah, I really avoided it. I didn't want this to happen. This is like a last minute like thing, but it's happening. Here we go. And I'm doing it quick. Like the vast majority of this is going to be happening in April for me.
Well, let me tell you something, Ryan. I think it rubbed off on us because we had literally moved to our weekend house out of the blue. Well, not really out of the blue. We kind of planned it, but it happened so fast because we found a contractor that said, hey, we can start right now. And we're like, oh, because it's so hard to find a contractor. So we were like, well, we don't want to be here when you're doing it. So we just moved to the country house and I'm thrilled. But it's like, I don't know what this energy is, and maybe it's pre or past or whatever. But, it, you know, and I'm a Gemini. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but something's going on.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, like Gemini is a very harmonious energy with Aries. They are two signs apart, and the signs that are like every other signs in each other are they get along really nicely. So ultimately, this should be a really sweet energy for you. But there's a lot of uncertainty to it. Like people feel themselves going off in a whole new direction, and that feels heavy, you know. So that's why, like, I think making decisions right now is important, as long as you're feeling informed. Like making a decision with no information is probably not a good choice ever, really. But I can't tell you the weight that was lifted off my shoulders once I finally decided I just need to pull the plug here and move. And all of a sudden, the weight of uncertainty lifted. And I'm like, wow, okay, I got a like clear path now, you know?
Well, and the good thing is, too, you can predict kind of, man, I have so many people telling me, Ryan, that it's so spot on astrology. It's scary spot on. And when you can look at planets and go, you know what? I belong where I'm supposed to be now, where you're going. You know, like I belong out here. You probably saw in your chart going, I can't not do this. I have to do this.
Yeah, no, and I really, especially during eclipses, if you are resisting the energy that is pushing you in a certain direction, I can tell you from experience, resisting that will be, I mean, it can be catastrophic. It can really throw you for years onto a path you really don't want to be on.
Right.
I can explain more about that later, but Yeah, and I also, just for what it's worth, I was going back through the 2024 forecasts because crypto's booming right now. This doesn't really have much to do with the eclipse, but I went back to the 2024 podcast we did on your podcast, and we predicted crypto booming right now, and
it is.
Like just another testament of how like I'll look ahead like what's going on, and you can definitely predict
it. Because think about it, you know, it was dying, like the guy got caught, it was a big sham, that's what we thought, and then all of a sudden what is going on, it's back. What
but it makes sense why it's back, you know.
Well, it was handled incorrectly, and now I think the right people are handling it. So, and I do think the future is going in this direction. I don't know how quickly it'll be, because I just want to hide money under my mattress and not mess with anybody and just be by myself. But I mean, because, you know, every single time anything happens anymore, the world just totally shifts. I feel like there's Mandela effects going on everywhere and everyone's going crazy. And then there's weird politics and what? I mean,
I know.
So what are your thoughts about after this eclipse happens? This is the most pronounced thing, or the biggest thing that's going to happen this year, right? So are there any other catastrophic things hopefully not happening, or other good things, good or bad?
Yeah, there are. There's honestly, like, it's hard to look at any day in April and not see something.
Really?
I mean, this is a nutty, nutty month. Like, there are a lot of things happening this month that would be, like, the peak of any other month, you know?
Wow.
So
There's so much happening, but I would say the next biggest thing is going to be on April 20th when we have the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which people can go back to the 2024 forecast that you and I did and listen to that episode because we talked about that for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We did. So why don't we remind them kind of what you said and they can go back and listen too.
Yeah, that's like where I really was seeing like a huge crypto boom. Like it starts a month beforehand, March 20th until then. But Jupiter and Uranus meet up like every 14, 15 years about, but this is the only time in our lifetime they'll meet up in Taurus, which is the sign of resources.
That's right.
And Uranus can digitize things. So that's why the crypto boom.
About these things. I'm like, oh yeah. So
maybe we should start investing in crypto. I don't know.
Well, and it's like, I don't even know that crypto's maybe the answer, but I'm even seeing in the news right now, I forget what it's called, but the U.S. is having very extensive conversations right now about creating like a digital dollar, you know, not crypto, but their own digital dollar. And other countries have digital currencies.
Like euros,
and we're quite behind on a lot of that stuff. So that conversation of just like, how do we make more digital virtual you know, resources is a big topic.
Well, and it's just the way it is going with the technology we have and AI and everything else. So when I was going to have you back on, I was like, let's do predictions for 2024, the rest of 2024 and some whatever. So what do you think now? Is it the same? Is it fluid? Does it change at all? I mean, what?
Oh, no, there's definitely like big changes for sure. April's like this threshold month where like things are now like shifting in a very clear new direction.
Yeah.
But I guess like not everybody will maybe see it in April, like the energy shifts in April, but it might be May, June before you're really like moving forward into a new path.
Okay.
Yeah. In May, especially like end of May, Jupiter's going to move into Gemini, which is a whole new vibrant energy. Things will feel like they're moving along a lot quicker as well, which will be nice, I think, ultimately. Yeah. I mean, things already feel fast, but this feels fast in a lighter way, you know?
Good. Because
I think even back then when you were talking about the 2024 predictions, you were like, you know, it still feels heavy. I mean, everything's kind of just up and, you know, we're all up in arms. Everything's just a little disarrayed. I think it'll start calming down. I think you said 2025 or six, it's going to start looking better and better every year.
Is that right? Okay.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. It gets a lot better at like end of 2025, especially, but we'll see like a serious change. You know, I think in our 2024 podcast, we primarily focused on the first half of the year, you know, and that is a lot of like more of the same energy. Like April shifts the tide, but it might take a minute to acclimate to where things are headed.
Okay.
Definitely June onward, like people are feeling something brand new happening. A lot of big changes with my clients are taking place right around this time. So,
and this is like collectively too, isn't it? I mean, this is the whole collective of doing this.
Yeah, this is not just.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, these are energies that are hard to escape from. You know, like it's going to play out differently for everyone, but they're so big that they're kind of impacting everybody's chart in some way.
Well, what's your advice on people that kind of get a little freaked out about this kind of change and this kind of weirdness still going on, but knowing there's something better down the road? What do you suggest? You have any advice for people that just kind of get a little freaked out?
Yeah, well, I definitely to not, just don't freak out. Like, I know, but I think like, especially in eclipses, which this eclipse is going to last, I mean, eclipse season in general will last until the next full moon, which is going to be April 23rd. Okay. So we're in eclipse season until April 23rd.
Okay.
So just hang in there with that time frame.
Okay.
But during eclipse season, I don't, as a general rule of thumb, recommend making big life decisions, starting new things. I say it as a general rule of thumb, though, because it really depends on your chart. If this is playing out very nicely in your chart, I'm advising certain clients to do big things, you know, make big moves. Like I'm making a big move for a very specific reason because it's working out in my chart that way.
Right.
But otherwise, you want to be receptive because it's like the sun and the moon are scrambling up the energies. And so if you're trying too hard to control anything right now, it can feel like, especially because there's so much Pisces energy and Pisces is the fish. It feels like if you try to hold onto a fish in your hands, it wiggles right out, you know?
Right.
And so like, you're not going to really control much, but if you're receptive, then that means you're open-minded to what the universe is trying to bring in right now, which is especially the case with this eclipse and new moon, so new beginnings in Aries, the first sign of the zodiac, ultimate new beginnings. And if you are receptive of a new pathway unfolding, that's when you make the decision to go down it. You know, you don't try to force open a pathway right now. Like, it's just not what the universe wants you to do.
Okay.
But be receptive. And then, like, it's almost like the only action to be taken right now is a reaction, you know?
So, like, for this eclipse, though, let me ask you this. Is there something people can specifically do to cleanse themselves? You know, like aura cleanses or something like that? I know that sounds so woo-woo. But, you know, with eclipses, I mean, what do you suggest for that?
Totally. I love this. Love this. One thing, a little witchier, I guess, would be anything to do with fire, because it's Aries, the spark of life. It's the initial flame. Mm. So a lot of people will do like meditations where it's called candle gazing, and you just light a candle and just like kind of gaze at it while meditating, and it can really infuse you with a nice sense of vitality and confidence, creativity. Otherwise, this eclipse in Aries, it's ruled by Mars. Mars is in Pisces, which is a very funny energy. I have Mars and Pisces in my natal chart, and it's a weird energy because Pisces is all about dissolve. Like, it dissolves barriers, it dissolves the senses, it's about transcendence, away from ego, whereas Aries is hyper-focused on the ego. So even though there's this new beginning that's going to bolster your sense of self, it has to happen through the dissolve of the self first. So you kind of got to lose yourself right now to find yourself, you know? Mm. And so I think one thing that I really recommend is anything that makes you feel like you're in total immersion. It's like the best way I can view it, because Pisces works through osmosis. And so here's like my simple thing that I would totally recommend for anybody is... any type of bath.
Yes.
So a real bath, just like a normal bath, of course, but it's got a witchier flair to it. So you want to add in like your favorite herbs, add in like things that make you, you know, essential oils, whatever you like there. But let yourself like meditate in there and maybe put a candle next to the bath, right? Yes. And get both the water and the fire energy.
Stare at the flame and sit in the water,
a sound
man.
Bath. I think a sound bath would be really nice too, if you have access to like a good sound bath near you, because then you're just letting the vibration frequencies of the singing bowls completely encompass you. Mm. But my ultimate favorite thing for people to do with energy like this, which really is strong Pisces energy.
Yeah.
And the last eclipse was ruled by Venus, which was in Pisces. So there's a heavy dose of Pisces right now.
Right.
Is to do a float tank, or a sensory deprivation tank is also what it's called. And they're really picking up steam. So look them up in your area. A lot of spas have them, but there's also like float tank centers. And it's really fascinating because it literally deprives your senses. You're in this tub with a ton of Epsom salt. So you float, like you can fall asleep in a float tank because your head stays upright.
Wow.
And you typically will want to do it for like 2 hours. And the first 10 minutes, you know, you're aware of everything.
Yeah.
But it's complete darkness in there. Sometimes they'll let you play music. I don't recommend it. I'd say remove all sensory devices, period.
Wow.
Because after 10 minutes, this beautiful Piscean thing happens where you literally lose sense of where your skin ends and the water begins. And so you turn into floating consciousness. All you are is consciousness itself, which is Pisces. It is pure consciousness.
Wow.
So when you don't know what, you don't feel your body anymore, you lose sense of time. Those first 10 minutes go really long while you're trying to like get into it.
Yeah.
But after that, like, you're shocked when those 2 hours go by, because you're in pure darkness. You're alone with your thoughts. It's the purest meditative experience I've ever had.
Wow.
And I really recommend it. Like, I think people will feel like you literally will lose your sense of self in that experience, but you'll gain these amazing epiphanies and insights that help you come out of it feeling like rejuvenated, you know?
It's like you went back to spirit, really.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it's like. It's the closest thing I think we have to the feeling of like astral projection, you know, or like literally removing the soul from the body.
Wow. Wow. Okay. And, you know, I'd be like, okay, I shut my eyes. It's total darkness. There's no music. There's no sound. But what if Jaws wants to get me?
It's not going to happen. You're in a very like nice tank, you know, like there's no, nothing's in that water. Don't worry.
Yeah, if it's deep enough for me to float, I'm like, oh my God, what's underneath me? Right.
I don't think animals would survive with that much Epsom salt. Don't worry.
But no, that actually sounds so cool. But I think a lot of people can even meditate like that. But just to have that feeling, that physical part of it, That sounds so cool. Yeah. I need to look into that because sometimes, you know, you get so deep in your thoughts and you just, it's almost like a reboot, if nothing else, because your energies get so, you know, just bunched up in your thoughts and your mind. And sometimes you just need that cleanse. And I don't have the big bathtub I had before in my big house. I have just the regular bathtub shower combo now that, you know, you get cold in that bath and I miss it so much. But guess what? We're going to get a big pool and it's going to be a saltwater pool. So guess what I'll be doing this summer?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, that's so good.
So the best thing that people can do is just kind of keep their wits about them. Sounds like really good things are starting to come, starting really from this point on. I mean, we got to get through this year, through the election and all that. And I don't even know if you want to talk about any of that politics stuff. I don't even know if you know anything that's going to happen, or do you have any predictions?
At the moment, I don't. I'm just now starting to like dig up everybody's charts. Okay. And I've got a big like workshop I'm going to do on that. Nice. Later this year, like in August.
Okay.
So I'll be more prepared on that in like a month.
Oh yeah. And you know, what we can do is, I'm sure you're going to air it on your podcast too, and I'll link your podcast on there too, so that, you know, guys, his podcast, what is the name of your co-host again? She's so funny.
Megan Lund. She's a Reiki healer and personal trainer in Charleston.
Oh my God. And that's where you're moving, correct?
I'm going to go home to Illinois first and then kind of figure it out. I'm not sure where I'm going to go, to be honest. I'm going to go kind of see my mom. Nice. My grandma has Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and that's okay. Just kind of like happened pretty rapidly,
yes,
declining, yes, right now. So I'm going to go home. But then after that, I'm kind of like an open book. I'm letting, like, I'm going to see where the universe takes me. I don't know.
Your path is reminding me of Karen Wontowski. She's gone to, she left LA. She went to Utica. And then she's kind of hanging out with her sister, helping her mom, because I talk to her all the time now. And she's going to be on my podcast fairly soon. And she's who introduced me to you, Ryan. And it sounds like you guys are kind of on the same little track a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to actually update her and let her know that this is happening, because she could probably give me some good advice on how to handle that.
Ever pull some tarot for you, right? Now, I know you do tarot as well. Tell me about what you do with tarot. Have you pulled any cards for any of this eclipse stuff?
I haven't for the eclipse, but that's a good idea. I really should. And that's funny you say that too, because the last like week, especially, I've been like, I really need to sit down and like give myself a tarot reading. I've fallen out of that for myself. I used to do it every morning.
Yeah.
And I've really fallen out of the practice with it. So
I'd love to send people to you for some tarot, because I think you're a great tarot reader. You did it for me too. So
tarot. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah.
Pull a card for us if you'd like. You can pull one. Whatever.
I totally will. You know what? Let me do that.
Yeah.
I'm grabbing the deck. Hold on.
Yeah. Let's just do it. You know, we're not nailing anything down. We're just talking about everything.
Okay, I'm going to pull from an oracle deck.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
called the Psychic Tarot.
Yeah.
And the cards relate to the traditional tarot deck, so okay. But they have a different meaning and different names.
Okay.
Yeah. What does Leslie's listeners need to know about this eclipse? I love this. I love that we're doing this.
Okay. I know.
Okay.
Nothing like being put on the spot, Ryan.
Oh. This is nice. Okay, so this is the fertility card, which relates to the Empress. And yeah, this is a really nice card. So it's all about abundance, like really getting very clear, decisive, I guess, about your goals, the physical things that you want to manifest. There's a nice creation energy associated with this too.
Right.
I mean, fertility definitely is obviously making me think like, who's having babies right now?
Right.
And actually, I would say if anybody is like likely to get pregnant, it would be Gemini and Sagittarius rising. They are having eclipses in their fifth house, which is the house of children. So there can be planned or unplanned pregnancies if you're a Gemini or Sagittarius rising.
Okay.
But otherwise, it doesn't have to be like a physical, you know, baby birth. Right. It's just about like, what are you birthing into the world? You know,
exactly.
Like what's fertilized within you that is ready to sprout now. And that's perfect for this eclipse.
You said open yourself to new beginnings. You know, don't resist it. Let's not stay in a box. Let's get out of that box. Anything is possible. Y'all know how I feel about things like this. Don't be afraid of this. This is the thing. You know, I think fear, it certainly stops me a lot. And finally, I'm like, I got to quit worrying about how this is going to look or how this is going to do or if I'm going to like it or if I don't. You know, you create your own reality. And because you create your own reality, why would you not want to think about it as positively as you can? Because when you come with it at that direction, I'm telling you, it's so much better for you, Ryan, than just going in and going, you know, I'm going to have a crappy year. Well, guess what? You're probably going to have a crappy year, right? I mean, seriously, and I know that sounds so simple, but it really is that simple.
No, it is. It is. There's something, it's so funny. I just talked to a doctor for my podcast yesterday, and we were talking about the placebo effect, and I recently found out about this thing called the nocebo effect, which everybody knows what a placebo is, right? Like, you know, you can experience the benefits of something even if it's a sugar pill. But the nocebo effect is when patients get a placebo pill, a sugar pill, but they're told that this sugar pill, even if they know it's a placebo, they're told, well, here are the negative side effects that could potentially happen, even if it's not real. These patients are manifesting the negative side effects. And they know that it's just a sugar pill. So the nocebo effect is the opposite, basically, where you can manifest the negative side effects of something, you know? So definitely, like, keeping the positive mindset, I think, is so important right now. The fertility card, too, is, like, making me feel like, you know, what you create right now feels like it has to have its own life, too, right? Like, as a parent of a child or the, whatever you're birthing into this world right now, and, like, treat it as if it's its own entity, you know? It's got agency on its own. Or it's sort of like people who are really good with plants, you know? Like, they'll talk to plants. Different plants have different needs. Like, you can't force your own idea of what life means onto another life form. So I think, like, you can be a guide for whatever you're trying to make happen right now. Put some parameters on things. But otherwise, like, I think allow it to have agency and listen to what it wants and let it exist as its own thing. You know, it's your creation, but, like, the lack of control right now is very real. So let it, sprout legs and run off on its own as well.
You watch the news and you can see the lack of control. Okay. I mean, and you've seen the women getting punched in New York. It's craziness. I'm like, what is going on in this world?
No.
But no, I love that you were able to pull a card for my listeners because, guys, it's true. Just don't resist the new stuff. Don't resist something new coming. I mean, I was, at first I was like, oh my God, I'm going to move. And I don't know if I could leave this big house. And guys, the house was paid for. It wasn't because we had to. I needed to. I wasn't even using that house. So, and that's a whole different situation than maybe you're going through. But if it can make you feel better, you know, and take that burden off you, whatever it is you're facing, don't be afraid of it. Just do it. Because I'm telling you, I feel so much better. I have so much more peace on 35 acres than a little quarter acre with neighbors all around me. And I could barely breathe there. I mean, I've learned so much with people like Ryan and Karen and, you know, near-death experiencers or whoever I interview. I've learned so much about myself just talking to them about what they do.
Yeah, it feels like if people are holding on to things too tight right now, like they're gonna create claw marks in whatever they're holding on to and like ruin it. You know what I mean? So I definitely think you gotta like release. I mean, and we're still, that was the previous eclipse, but that energy is still so active right now. So like in order to start this new beginning, it kind of inherently requires an ending. Like with the Pisces energy, the final sign of the zodiac, coupled with the Aries energy, the first sign of the zodiac, there's a clear, like, okay, something must conclude in order for this new beginning to take form. But I think people can move into a much better space. But I feel for people, it's a scary feeling, you know, facing uncertainty or making decisions and letting go of things that feel like you're not ready to let go of, you know, I understand that. It also, none of this is permanent either. This isn't Pluto. Like, Pluto is permanent change. This is stuff where it's like, you know what? You might need to put that down for a while and go pursue this other thing. But that thing can come back around. It absolutely can. And I would say, especially in 6 months' time, eclipses tend to be six-month-long storylines. But regardless, in six months, September, October, will be the culmination of this new moon. So you want to think in that time frame sense. Like, if you're having to let go of something right now, it could come back. It can come back in 6 months. You know,
right? Because it doesn't have to be this astronomical thing that, oh my gosh, you're moving, or you know, you're getting married or whatever, or you're having a baby. It could just be, you know what, maybe I'll look into taking a dance class or something, something different that I never thought I would do, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And see where it takes you, you know, like really see where it takes you. Aries gets beginner's luck energy. So if you're, you know, starting new endeavors right now, like it could go really nicely for you. But I love the way you said that, because now I'm thinking like, you know, I'm going to be leaving here, but I don't know where I'm going after I go home. I just know I'm going to go home for a little while.
You're just going to be a nomad.
Recalibrate. But
yeah.
I could be back in 6 months. Like LA could come back for me in 6 months time. You know, who knows? It doesn't mean that everything's done here. Yeah, this is a really interesting energy. I would also say, like, one other recommendation I have for this is that this is the time of year that I always say to create a vision board. I guess create a vision board whenever you want to, but astrologically, this is that time of the year because it's Aries season, and you always want to wait for the new moon in Aries to start. It's like the real astrological new year, and it's when, like, those new year resolutions should really be made. And because of the Pisces energy, Pisces literally works through visualization. Like, a lot of photographers or filmmakers have Pisces energy because they visualize it and they create it in reality. So if you use this time to, I'd say, like, I know this is coming out on the 8th. I wouldn't make the vision board on the 8th. I would wait until about the 11th. On the 11th, 10th, 11th, about there, really, really cool energy for taking this vision you have for where you want your life to go and putting it into physical form. So spend, you know, a couple hours just like cutting up pictures, quotes, whatever, and put together a little vision board. And the key is to put it somewhere where you're going to see it every single day. You don't just want to like hide it in the back of your closet. I have an entire wall. That's a vision board wall that I make every year on this Aries new moon. And it works. Like, trust me, like, it's crazy. I'm looking at it right now and I'm just like, wow, like the ways that so much of this has unfolded for me is really nuts. So I definitely recommend that. That's huge. Pisces rules vision boarding, and with Aries being such a visionary, really a pioneer. Like, go big, for sure. You can manifest some really cool things. I would just, wait until about, I'd say April 11th would probably be the best day.
No, I love the idea because, you know, you tell the universe what you want, you got to let them know, or they're just going to, you got to be kind of literal about it because they do take it literally.
Yes, absolutely. 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 And if you're manifesting or whatever, I also, as much as like you want to be literal, like say you're trying to manifest, like I need an extra 15,000 in the next 6 months, right? Keep that 6 month time frame in check for sure. But like, say I need $15,000 in the next 6 months, say that, you know, you need 15,000. So like write that down, put it on the vision board or whatever. But I also recommend leaving things a little open-ended where it's like, I want $15,000 in the next 6 months or better, you know,
better,
like,
because
then you're saying $15,000 or better, because then, you know, the universe doesn't limit. It doesn't have to limit you to that, you know?
Exactly. No, that's great advice. See, guys, I'm helping you money-wise too. See, this is why we have Ryan on the show. Okay. Ryan, I know you have to go, so tell everyone where they can find you. And of course, you know, I'm going to add everything to your show notes. Go ahead.
Everything that you need to know, you can just go directly to my website, ryansastrology.com. I got my business calendar on there. I got my podcast, social media, bookings, everything's available through my website. That's the easiest thing.
Yeah. And it's a great website, guys. And it's very easy to navigate. So Ryan, you are my friend. Thank you so much for being on my podcast again and just at the last minute coming on. I really appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, of course.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.